Hey, everyone, and welcome to Allegedly, the podcast with me, Matthew Cole Weiss.
And me, Theo Vaughn.
And this is the podcast where we compete to win each episode, but we're going to talk about what life is really like in Hollywood.
That's right. We're going to delve into the deep crevasses of the hills and the valleys here in Hollywood. We're going to share stories, and then we are going to have our celebrity guests share stories, and then we are going to wrap it up with a lightning round of...
of 7 minutes in hell, where we each bring up a topic that the other person does not really know or want to talk about.
Yep.
And so our celebrity guest with us today is a legend and happens to be one of my best friends in the world. This is Mr. Bruce Vilanch.
And explorer of many a crevasse.
Oh, yeah.
He is a spelunkerer of
crevasses. Of note.
Of note. Your reputation precedes you. So, Bruce, your role as a celebrity judge here is in the first round. Theo and I will each tell a story, a true experience of something that has happened to us while we have been in these hills of Hollywood. And then at the end of the round, you will decide who the winner of that round is. And now you can award points throughout the round if you want as well. It's very, you know, whose line is it anyway? You can, for whatever points you want, but at the end, pick someone who won the round. Second round will be the celebrity interview. We will take turns interviewing you.
Oh.
And then you have to decide who did a better job.
Ah.
And then the last round, which we talked about, is 7 minutes in hell, which we talk about an uncomfortable topic that the other person doesn't really want to discuss. Yeah. And then you can use your own criteria to decide who did a better job with that. And at the end, we will see who won the podcast.
God, it's like being the evil mother of all time.
Yes.
Choosing between her children.
And now,
Sophie's Choice, the game show.
Now, let me remind and reiterate what I said, one of my best friends. So I'm not pulling any favors.
Yeah, sounds like you're cheating a little already.
All right, let's start.
Let's start with your story,
Matt. I'll start with my story first.
Matt gets 5 minutes. You can just listen. You can chime in. You can say whatever you want, Bruce. Okay. This is Matt's story.
All right, so this is what Hollywood really is. When I first moved here, I was not making money. So I'd done focus groups. I've done things like that. But one of the things I did was a reality show, something that Theo knows a lot about because Theo was on Road Rules. He is a veteran. I went in. I answered an ad on Craigslist, no joke. And they were looking for contestants for a show. Where
it's
you
the early back page, if
right,
you don't
know
it. Oh, yes. They were looking for contestants for a show that was kind of like the surreal life with contestants. Mm-hmm. So two people had to move into a house and live with celebrities, and then they would judge who acclimated to the celebrity life better. And you go into this gorgeous house and you win like money and movie premiere tickets. I was like, this is awesome. I'll do it. So I went in and I totally lied and said I was a teacher. They cast me.
Yeah.
And so I moved into this house and I moved into a house with Scott Baio from Charles in Charge and Joni Loves Chachi and whatever. Miss Sherilyn Fenn from Twin Peaks.
Oh, I thought it was from that Fen Fen lawsuit. Do you remember that? That drug that came out that wasn't good?
Certainly. Different spelling.
She was not involved.
And Thomas Calabro from Melrose Place, who was the mean doctor on Melrose Place. So I literally moved into this giant mansion with them and this other contestant. Once we start, things start going wrong. The first day there, Scott Baio pulls me into his room and he says, listen, I have a stalker and I have to be prepared. So I brought this. And he opens up his bag and he's got a gun. And he says, this is just for protection, nothing else. Do you want to hold it? And I'm like, I've never held a gun before. So I held the gun. I was like, this is crazy. And so then we go shopping with Sherilyn Fenn. We go to a hat store and she steals a hat and she runs out with the hat. And the shop owner comes up to me and freaks the fuck out and says, why would you let her do that? Like, she's someone famous, so we're not going to bother her, but you should be ashamed of yourself. things just start going really bad. Scott Baio and I go test drive Lamborghinis, and they're like, do a spin around the block. We get in the car, and then Scott is like, fuck this, we're going to Malibu. And then there's cops behind us following us, and it's this whole thing. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like, this is like, I can't believe this shit is actually happening to me. So I'm freaking out, and I'm like, I need to get out of here because, like, this is not safe. The person has a gun, and we're stealing stuff, and I feel horrible. So I call my mom. I sneak into the bathroom, and I call my mom.
Oh, my God. Every story of his goes to his mom, Bruce.
Oh, well, if you knew her.
Exactly. So I snuck into the bathroom. I called my mom, and I was crying. And I said, Mom, this is crazy. Like, what's going on? Like,
it's crazy. It's a gun. And it's Scott Baio.
It's Baio, and it's not safe.
He changes it a lot.
But it's still a gun.
My mom goes, no joke, you idiot. And I said, what do you mean, you idiot? And she goes, this has all got to be a joke on you. And I was like, what? And this was before the Joe Schmo show or anything like that. And I was like, there's no. I mean, really, they're really like, this is crazy. And she goes, whatever, I'm telling you. So I go up to the producer afterwards and I'm like, I just called my mom. And my mom said that this isn't real. And he goes, what? No, of course it's real. So what I learned later is they sped up. We were supposed to be there 2 weeks. And they ended it after a week because they knew I was onto something. And so I was a little suspicious when the cops came and Scott Baio pulled out a gun and shot one of them. I was like, this can't be real, you know, like in my head, because I already, but I bet you if had I not talked to my mom, I would have thought that Scott Baio really shot a cop in this thing. And I'm like, this can't be real. Anyway, so they ended it and they said, surprise, this is all a joke on you. Like the cops were actors. The other contestant was an actor. Apparently, Scott Baio was a nice man. I had no idea because he was pretending to be this aggro guy who had a gun. And Sherilyn Fenn is not a kleptomaniac, so I had no idea these people.
No, that's Winona Ryder.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just felt like the biggest idiot in the world ever. I get a copy of it. I come across as very naive, very sweet. About 6 months later, my mom's out here visiting, and we just happen to run into Scott Baio. And I said, Scott, this is my mom. And Scott goes to my mom, so you're the lady who ruined my entire TV show.
Wow. Was he serious?
He was dead serious because he was a producer on it too, and this was like his whole pilot, you know? And he goes, so you're the one who ruined everything. And my mom goes, excuse me? You know, like whatever. And so honest, that is a true story. I lived in a house with Scott Baio, Thomas Calabro, and Sherilyn Fenn, and there were guns and stealings, and it was all a joke on me. And this is when I was fatter, too. Like, I was about 60 pounds heavier.
Oh, God, now you're fat in the story?
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
I'm just trying to make you feel
this is all the sympathy BS. I'm fine.
I was.
My mom cried. I'm fat. Well, just tell the story.
I just told the story.
Yes. You saw the way I executed at the end, killed his time so he couldn't get anything else.
I thought the elephants were stampeding. I thought the story was so sad the elephants were crying.
Well.
All right, I think I've got 5 minutes here for a story.
On the clock.
So what happened to me was I was working in a casino in America somewhere in Oklahoma. And
wait a minute, we haven't established that's America.
Yes, sorry, in Oklahoma.
Important part
in Oklahoma, and there was it was a celebrity card tournament where people playing cards, poker. So I'm there, and one of my favorite celebrities of all time is there, Jerry Mathers. Okay, and
Theo likes the beef.
And
we know
I've
this.
Been a Jerry Mathers fan. I mean, I had pictures of him all over my walls growing up. I found an autographed picture of him in Africa one time and bought it. Anyway, so I'm stoked
the
to see Jerry
Mathers.
Only
beaver in Africa.
Yeah, probably so.
Well, the ones that aren't circumcised.
I was about to say.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
So anyway, I get to talk to him. And Ralph Malph is there too. Ralph
from the Donnie Happy
Most.
Day.
Yeah, he was super, super nice. Yeah. And B was a little, kind of kept to his own a little bit, but I finally cornered him one time at this buffet.
You cornered the beef.
Yeah. I cornered the beef.
At a buffet.
Man.
At a buffet.
Beef buffet.
And I was like, man, I was like, that's so crazy that, you know, I'm such a big fan. And he's like, we got to talking, and he was like, well, where do you live? And I said, I live over in Santa Monica. And he goes, oh, sometimes I go get some pussy in Santa Monica.
No!
That's what he said. I swear to you.
Beaver gets pussy.
You're lying. You're making this up.
I'm not lying. And it blew my mind, bro. Yeah. And it really brought it home, dude, because I sometimes get pussy in Santa Monica.
Sometimes.
And so did he, but it just... It like
he didn't. It was just you two. So there was nobody else like listening to this.
I said. He said, "Where do you live?" I said, "Santa Monica." And he's like, "I sometimes go get pussy in Santa Monica."
Wow.
Well, yeah.
So how did you respond to that?
I was just excited, man. I just hit the like. It was like at the bread end of the buffet. So I just picked up some rolls and jetted. Like there wasn't anything else left to say.
You found a common bond.
Yeah,
that was
apparently.
It, man.
Wow. So and did your view of the Beav, who was this big idol of yours, change from this interaction?
I think my view I think my view, it just made me think, it kind of took away a little bit because I had this view of him as like this special man who was black and white, who lived
and you
in
saw
like,
him in color and you were like, what is this about?
But like that he lived in a world that was almost like the Truman Show, like, and that was like his world. Mm-hmm. And then when you see, it's like so much of LA, when you move here and see the behind the curtain of it all, mm-hmm. and it takes away the magic, then it you know, and I just think of him just, you know, getting puss or finger in some gal, you know, outside of Brentwood, and it just like it really
on the Santa Monica Promenade.
Is this too gross?
No, I think it's hysterical. That's a hysterical
the
story.
The sad part is he gets pussy in Santa Monica.
No,
and you know that because there's a lot of homeless people.
There's a lot of hookers
exactly.
too.
But anyway, allegedly,
just make a deposit in the Dolphin, and it'll all be better.
So allegedly, this happened. There is no proof other than Theo's word on this.
I was there with my ears and my brain.
We may have to get the Beav in here one day to confirm the pussy that he gets in Santa Monica. And by the way, I hate that word.
Wow, well, it sounded like it rolled off your tongue all right.
Oh, pussy.
Santa
okay,
Monica.
Stop.
No,
Santa Monica.
No, pussy.
Stop saying it.
All right, well, you beat your time. All right, Bruce, mm-hmm. whose story did you like better?
He proved he's straight because he looked at Jerry Mathers. I was looking at Tony Dow.
Ah,
brother.
Yes.
Oh, that was
right?
Handsome.
There's a whole group of us now who chase Tony Dow around.
Really?
Yeah, you follow him in his walker and
must be a really tough chase.
It's still cute.
Is he? Well,
no, I haven't seen him in forever, but I did meet him. One of those TV Land shows. Well, actually,
yeah.
I met, and we had them on Hollywood Squares.
Yeah.
Actually, he never mentioned pussy in Santa Monica. Although, if I'd known that, I would have made it an answer to one of the questions. It would have been a Garfield. You
exactly.
Know, like, what's the title of Garfield's new musical?
Pussy in Santa Monica.
Something like that.
Like things that you get in Santa Monica. You go, Jerry.
I consider it a missed opportunity.
Okay. All right. So the stories.
Well, I mean, I think it's like Letterman's brush with greatness. I mean, you know, he kind of accidentally ran into a childhood idol, who turned out to have feet of clay.
Yes.
You know, and now he's haunted by the image of Jerry Mathers getting pussy in Santa Monica.
I am too.
I know exactly.
But you're haunted by the image of anybody getting any anywhere.
That's true.
But you know, what you went through was genuinely harrowing.
It was pretty traumatic.
I know, because you're like a new kid in Hollywood and you want to play along and you suddenly discovered that you're the mark.
All right, you gotta pick one, Bruce.
I pick yours.
Yes!
Oh my goodness.
I pick yours. I'm sorry.
I think that's a fair assessment.
No, this is called the Rainbow Union. I know what this is, isn't
well.
It?
No,
all right, let's move on to round two, which is our celebrity interview.
Good round, man.
And so here we have Bruce Vilanch. I'm sure you all know his credits. Aside from Hollywood Squares, as you mentioned.
Yes.
Which I think they should bring back. But secondly.
It would be perfect, actually. Actually, he's a perfect
character. You
know,
Wars was the third iteration of it. But they subsequently, in the last 10 years, did another one on MTV2. It was called, seriously, it was called Hip Hop Squares. Nick Cannon hosted the first one and quit.
Oh, my God.
It was all rappers. Nine rappers in Squares.
Well, nothing says Hollywood Squares like rap.
They bought our set, they bought our lights, and they bought all of our jokes. They bought the files from the whole Whoopi empire.
Really?
Yeah. And I recognize them. I'd watch these things and I'd say, well, we had that question when we were doing it.
Now, were your jokes from like Paul Linde's?
No.
No, so you had your own original.
We had our own original stuff. But
so it wasn't passed down.
No, it wasn't. And the hip-hop jokes were not. Nobody was doing Paul Linde. You know, Flavor Flav.
He has no
there.
Idea who Paul Linde
right.
is.
Really?
No.
You're the one, because I get all the time.
You're
but then, you
the
know,
one.
I have an older
feel
demo.
Me.
No. Paul Linde was, well, Google him and you'll be amazed.
Yes.
You know, ever watch American Dad? The alien on American Dad is Paul Linde.
Okay.
Seth is doing that voice and
very flamboyant and kind of
And it was all very kind of under the radar.
Right.
I mean, it was like one of the questions we had for him. I wrote for him, too, back in the day, was who named Attila the Hun? He said, I did. I said, Attila. Hi, Hun. It was all that level of,
So Bruce Hollywood Squares, he is a legendary writer in
the
Hollywood, has worked on the Oscars. He even has his own documentary about him.
I know.
Get Bruce, starring some of the people he's written for, including Bette Midler, who is one of my favorites, and Billy Crystal, Robin Williams, Whoopi Goldberg. So this guy has been around the Hollywood scene.
We're doing the sequel, Had Bruce. A much larger cast.
Yeah, much larger cast. It's just it's basically door-to-door in WeHo.
Exactly, right. Hello. Trick or treat. It's July, Queen. Get out of here.
Bruce, how long have you been here in Hollywood and in this business?
Oh, I moved here in 1975 before anybody here was born. Mm-hmm. And I was in the business before that. I was a child actor.
Really?
I was not a child star. Or we'd be in rehab now having this conversation. I was a child actor, and then I became a writer, and I was a journalist, and I met Bette Midler about 45 years ago, which we quite can't believe, and began writing for her, and that led to writing for a lot of other people. And I came out here with an act called The Manhattan Transfer, which is still extant, yeah. And from the Halle Berry show of the same name. You're extant. And I stayed, and then after about 20 years of writing and being behind the scenes, I was on Hollywood Squares, mm-hmm. and I suddenly became an almost famous person.
Ooh. Yeah.
And that led to a lot of other stuff. So I did the musical Hairspray for 2 years on
yes.
Broadway and on
wow.
tour. And, yeah, I shaved my well-known beard
yes.
Because I couldn't talk them into a bearded lady. Ooh. John Waters said, that's a little too weird even for me.
John Waters that lives out in Palm Springs?
No. Well, no. You mean the John Waters of
the guy with the mustache?
Yeah, he's got the mustache.
He lives in Palm Springs?
I thought he
no,
did.
No, he lives in Baltimore and and Provincetown and San Francisco. He got rich off the musical.
Yeah.
So he has places. He might now have a place in Palm Springs.
Theo doesn't know anything about anybody celebrity-wise, really? So yeah. I would not trust anything.
Okay.
He probably knows some porn star with the last name Waters in Palm Springs.
I just see pictures of him in Palm Springs. I thought he lived
John
there.
Waters, the golden shower porn star. We were both, yeah.
There you go. So you've probably met every celebrity
King
there
of Bukkake, John Waters.
That's going to be
in a drought, no time. In yeah. a drought, no less.
That was my nickname in high school.
In a drought. Really, that's what Tom Selleck was doing.
Oh, yes.
Got those bukkake parties going on. And he had to have the water.
Magnum PI.
Important.
Magnum extra large PI.
Really, exactly. Yeah, it's only called Blue Bloods.
So you've probably met every celebrity there is.
Well, I've met a lot. I mean, yeah.
Is there anybody?
Everybody, but.
Is there anybody you haven't met that you wish you had a chance to write for or just had a run-in with?
Oh, wow, Thomas Calabro. Because I hear he has a huge Italian penis. I hear this because it became like a running gag on Melrose Place. Mm-hmm. And then one day they were doing an Entertainment Tonight interview, and off camera, whoever the interviewer says was, okay, who has the biggest penis on the show? And they all said, Tom. They all just pointed
wow.
at it.
Really?
I thought, how do they all know that? Or is it the collective joke among those people? And for some reason, I got fascinated by it.
Well, had I known this was a fact, I would have had a whole different experience while I was living in this house.
Well, you know, that's why I – Surreal Life, they offered me the Surreal Life. Oh. And, you know, I said there isn't enough money on the planet to make me share a bathroom with Charo. But the real reason I didn't do it was because I knew they would catch me in the middle of the night coming on to Jose Canseco.
Like literally or?
Yeah, I knew they would because they had cameras everywhere. And if I were there and we were walking around, you know, at night and Jose Canseco was in his underwear, I mean, I would probably just go for it because
yeah.
I would forget there were boundaries.
Yeah.
Because that happens and because, you know, I read about him in Madonna's book. So.
You let him sign your balls, huh? You think he is into men secretly?
No. I have no idea, but I doubt it.
Have
you heard that? What do you know?
I just wouldn't. He seems like I wouldn't put anything past him.
He might bat for the other team, but
I don't know.
Do you have a favorite closeted star out there?
A favorite closeted star? Gee, who I want to bring out right here on this podcast?
No, I just mean, do you have like
do they exist?
Right now, do they exist? Yeah, they exist. There are people who've never actually come out. I mean, Richard Simmons has never come out
for that,
you know, all of that.
Right.
But I'm trying to think of people, of somebody who qualifies. You know, nobody ever cares about people who aren't perceived as sex objects.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, no one's ever said to me, how's that Drew Carey? He's hot.
Right.
You know, no matter how much weight he loses. Or what do you know about John Goodman? You know, I mean, people don't say that. But the moment, you know, somebody shows up, Taylor Kitsch, who's had nothing but flops, they want to know about
right.
it.
That's you true.
Know, he's yet to be in a success, but baby, they all want to know about
yeah.
it.
You're very right.
It's because that's what we project, you know, on who we really want to sleep with.
And that's so true.
And we have to, you know, we have to bring them to our level, whatever that level is. So in long-winded answer, I don't know. There's nobody I can think of, actually.
Do you think there are people that fake being gay to like boost their careers?
Who would that be?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Well, there's probably people who do gay things to help their careers, but
right.
you're talking about someone who like
totally pretending,
is completely
like
straight, but pretending to be gay just so that they can have the attention and be
I don't think so.
Right. I don't think so either.
I don't think that Queen Latifah does all those workouts with that, with that trainer.
That would
to
be...
convince people that she's a lesbian, and then she goes home, you know, to Denzel or something.
Right. That would be pretty diabolic. Yeah. But
it would be. But this is the place where diabolic stuff happens.
I would not anybody.
It would be, it would make a great little movie.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. All right, Bruce and I now own the rights to that film. So
along with newcomer in town trapped in a house full of celebrities. who are punking him. Which is actually, that would be a terrific Lifetime movie.
Exactly. And we'll use the celebrities term lightly.
Now, Bruce, was there for a show that you auditioned for? Oh, your turn?
My turn.
We're going
back and forth. Bruce, I want to know, while we were talking about the celebrities, have you had a crazy or a bad run-in with anybody that you just couldn't believe, like, this happened? Kind of like his pussy story, but like, is there
anything? Can we call it something else? Can we call it my beaver shot?
Not like that. They've been. I'm searching the crevasses of my mind.
Yeah, get in there.
I mean,
Bruce.
I've had professional problems with people. Yes. You know, like Melissa McCarthy is mad at me because I told her she was unprofessional because she waited until the night before an award show to decide what she wanted to do and rejected everything and said, write me something overnight.
Oh, yes.
You know,
That's divas. You also have worked with a lot of divas through the years.
But that's that's divadom taken to a ridiculous extreme.
Right.
You know? And it's fresh divadom.
Right.
I mean, you know, she was at that point, she'd been the star for exactly 8 weeks.
Right.
Right.
So it was, you know.
Are people, do you find that people are bigger divas now than they used to be? Actors and actresses?
Probably only because they're in control of their own destinies now. I mean, back in the day when people were all signed to studio contracts or network contracts or recording company contracts or theatrical contracts, they weren't their own boss. They had to adhere to what those people said. Now they really kind of run the thing, and they write the contract the way they want it to be written.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're really divas, so they're answerable only to themselves, so they can exercise their wildest whims.
Ooh. Have you ever been to Vaseline Alley?
Which one?
That's the answer. I heard there's a place called Vaseline Alley in West Hollywood, which is like behind like Marco's coffee shop. It's just where people
That
Vaseline Alley. Well, I've heard about it. I've never been there. Have you heard about
it?
No.
I've heard about it. Yeah, I know it's like a gay kind of melting pot.
But then they turned it into like a city parking thing, so they get revenue and they have meter maids.
That's
and all
exactly
that.
True. So like people
now it's pay to play. Now
it's kind of the Gold Coast, which is the Wrinkle Room, is on that, and the Circus of Books, which is another place where you know you go in. It's the original. Go in and put a quarter in the thing and watch a gay porno movie and get a blowjob at the same time.
Now, remember when that guy got busted for watching the gay movies at Stud Theater? Who was that guy?
Oh, Fred Willard.
Fred Willard.
No, it wasn't gay, was it?
No, he was watching straight movies.
You know.
Oh, he was? Oh. Yeah.
And Pee-wee was watching straight movies.
Pee-wee was watching straight movies,
because he was in Sarasota, Florida.
Right.
Yes.
Where there were no gay porno houses. And, you know, wait, what's the joke? It's a great joke, and now I suddenly can't remember it. It's two famous Americans who got shot in the theater: Abraham Lincoln and the guy who sat in front of Pee-wee. That's the joke.
I remember that.
I was trying to dig into the crevasse for that one.
You got it though. Yeah. It came to you. Yeah.
If you had an actor that was going to play you, and I know Philip Seymour Hoffman passed away.
I know.
But who would have played
that.
You?
No one had offered it.
He got the offer, and he's like, this is it.
That's it. I'm toast. This is what they want from me. Who saw Flawless?
Well, who would it be, Bruce?
Well, you know who actually said he wanted to play me in a movie? James Franco.
Really?
When we were doing the Oscars, which I will never let him forget he did.
I don't think anybody will let him forget he did.
He had just done or was about to play Allen Ginsberg in a movie.
And
Allen Ginsberg is from my hometown, Paterson, New Jersey, and my father and his father were friendly. And so I knew Allen when I was – he was older than I, but he kind of encouraged me because he thought I was, you know, a creative person stuck in this place. Mm-hmm. And he had already gotten out and was going to the Village and was already, you know, a well-known beatnik personality. Mm-hmm. That's how old I am. Mm-hmm. And so I knew him, and we talked at some length about what I told him what I knew about Alan, what I remembered about him. And then we were just talking about other people. And by the time the lunch was over, he said, you know, I don't want to play. I want to do your life. Wow. I want to play you because you've had experiences with all of these people. And you're such a bizarre character. You're seemingly like grounded, but clearly out of your mind. And so I thought, okay, fine. I'm not going to say no to
Dave Franco. Yes, of course. All right, we're going to.
And then we did the show, and the show completely bombed, you know, the Oscar thing. And
why did it bomb?
Now Anne Hathaway wants to play me. Because she really takes a dare. Did it bomb? Because it was a terrible idea. It was a combination, a blatant ploy to get a younger audience.
Right.
And with two people who really had no business being on the stage together. Yeah. They had no real chemistry.
Right.
And it's actually going to be a chapter. It is a chapter in my book, which I'm still writing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a mistake. And I've said over and over again that James was out of his comfort zone.
Yeah.
And he thought it would be fun. And then he gets involved in a lot of things. He has many balls in the air.
Right.
None of them mine, unfortunately. But he was doing everything. You know, he was painting. He was writing poetry. He was writing a novel. He was directing. He was acting. And, like, he thought he'd sandwich this in over the weekend.
Right.
And that's not how it's done. And he's a great guy. And I felt bad. And he was... He got kind of catatonic, which, of course, made people think that he was
high.
Baked.
Yeah. Right.
Which I don't think he was. I don't think he said he didn't.
I can't imagine somebody would do that, get baked and do that. That'd be bold. Unless you're a rapper.
We have a genuine death wish.
Right.
I mean, he knew what he was doing. Of course, he was also very nervous. He was nominated that night for the I Ate My Arm Off movie.
Oh, yeah.
127 Hours.
What? Coyote Really Ugly. 127 Hours, exactly. And so he knew he was going to lose because Colin Firth, who had played the stuttering King of England, was going to win.
Oh, that was a great role, too.
And so he kind of – he says that's why he took the gig, so right. He wouldn't have to think about the other thing. But I don't think he was loaded. I just think that he was kind of, you know, paralyzed by the by the enormity of the whole thing.
Well, another time I'm going to have to tell my story about my blind date with Anne Hathaway.
Wow.
That really did happen.
Yeah, we definitely hear that.
But I'm going to end my last question. And Bruce, you've done everything. Is there anything yet that you have yet to do that you wish you could still want to accomplish?
Yeah, Ryan Gosling. But clearly I'm going to have to put a rose in my teeth and start singing, you know, Canciones de mi Padres, because he apparently likes Latinas. Or he currently likes a Latina.
He currently likes Latinas.
Very involved with a Latina, having a baby. However, is there anything? Probably. I mean, it'd be nice to actually create a series and run it.
Yeah.
You know, I may be a little old for that game, but, you know, Norman Lear still tries it.
So it's true.
What the hell? I'd like to do more of what I've been doing. And, you know, because the next thing is always interesting. And there's no one particular thing that I haven't done that you know, I could point to. Because I really have had a pretty fabulous
ride. You've had a great run so far.
Yeah.
What was one of the biggest misplaced Oscars of all time, do you think?
Misplaced? Oh, God. This leads me to...
I was just thinking...
The famous Billy Wilder story. There was a writer named Joyce Haber who had a column in the LA Times, mm-hmm. who was very powerful back in the day. And she was writing a novel, and she called Billy Wilder, who had won like 7 or 8 Oscars. And she said, I'm writing this novel, and the lead character is an actress, and she's a big star, but she's a terrible, drunk, and crazy person, and she wins the Oscar. And I want her to masturbate with her Oscar on the stage of the show. And he said, well, that's very interesting. And she said, do you think it's possible for a woman to masturbate with an Oscar? I'm asking you because you have so many of them, and you've handled them before. So would it be possible? And he thought a minute, and he said, yeah, it would absolutely be possible, and so much easier than with her Emmy.
That's
so
funny.
That's
a misplaced Oscar.
That's a misplaced Oscar story.
The modern version of that is go to a Bryan Singer party, right?
I know a lot of people think that Marissa Tomei didn't really win hers. That was an urban myth. But you saw it was somebody who got one who really shouldn't have gotten one. I think there are hundreds of them.
Yeah, right.
Because people win them for all kinds of reasons. I mean, and they lose them as well. I mean, Lauren Bacall was never going to win an Oscar from the voters at the Academy because she was nasty to so many people.
Right.
Over the years, and when she finally got nominated, they weren't going to give her an award. The actors nominated her because actors nominate actors, and they liked what she did, and they thought, oh, well, they'd give her a reward. But all the other people in the Academy are people who work on the below-the-line side of the business, and she'd been cruel to a lot of them.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? She knew it. Because I asked her, she came to rehearsal that day, and I said, she said, well, this will be the most fun I'll have. I said, you don't think you're going to win? She said, please, I'm not going to win this. She knew something about it.
Did you ever meet Johnny Cash?
Yes, he was on the Donnie and Marie show.
That's awesome.
Which I wrote. And
wow.
It was hysterical because he sang Folsom Prison.
Nice.
And like in front of Donnie and Marie, just to watch him die. Looking at these two Mormon kids and they're looking up at him. Oh, he's a legend. He's singing about shooting a guy just for the hell of it. What are the elders in Salt Lake City thinking of this?
Now,
that's
someone
our theme song.
Who has worked with Donnie and Marie, do you think they ever hooked up? I mean, that is the urban legend. That Donnie and Marie, there was a great Family Guy joke of them in bed and like together.
I know there's so many children, we should examine them one by one.
Exactly.
And see.
They got a DNA test this town. I've been saying it for years.
That's why she's so depressed.
Exactly.
All right, that's round two, Mr. Valanche. Mm-hmm. You've got to pick a round winner.
Your duties.
This was such a good conversation.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Who do you think asked more interesting or dug deeper or, floated your boat a little more?
Well, you know, I have to say, I owe him one, but that's not the reason. As somebody in the comedy field, he did ask questions that led to funny shit.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they were misplaced Oscars,
That's pretty funny.
I mean, and the phraseology. It's no pussy in Santa Monica, but it's kind of in the ballpark, if that's even the arena we're addressing.
All right.
All right, we're tied up.
So we're tied up now. Doesn't that make that exciting, Venus, Serena?
Yeah, it sure does, huh?
All right, we move on to round 3, 7 minutes in hell. When we talk about a topic that the other one might be uncomfortable about or doesn't really know about or something like that. Wow. Would you like to go first or me?
I would like to go second.
Okay.
I want to hear this 10 years from now. This same show, what they're doing 10 years
from now. Yeah, exactly.
There was a time back in 2017 when you were allergic to nuts. Never mind. Go ahead.
I would like to talk about Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Interesting. Especially since you guys are comics.
Do you think
this
he
really
did it?
Interests me.
Do I think he did?
Do you think he did? Well, he has admitted, and it's since come. Well, it was revealed in the deposition that he did admit to giving a girl Quaaludes in the past. But
in the 70s, though,
it's not a question to me of whether he did it or not. I think there's enough smoke there. The question is, for me, and what I find interesting is everything that is happening now. You know, they're taking down his Disneyland statue. They're talking about removing his Walk of Fame star.
Yeah.
Things like this. And now there's part of me that goes, absolutely, he was mean. He did horrible things. But then there's other part of me that goes, there are other people who are idolized who have done pretty horrible things too that we look at more as legends.
Like Thomas Jefferson, didn't he kill a bunch of slaves, I think? Ben Franklin? Never mind.
Well, he fucked one slave, and there's a whole line of people who were descended from it.
Yeah.
Yes, her name, completely.
What was her name? Sally Hawks, and she was...
Shamar Moore. As he was.
That's Shamar Moore?
Well, there's a move on today. A guy filed a thing to change the name of the D.W. Griffith Elementary School in East Hollywood, because D.W. Griffith, who did Birth of a Nation, was essentially, it was a recruitment movie for the KKK.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
And so how can it, but of course he was about the first really big Hollywood filmmaker ever.
Right.
And subsequently disowned it and did other things, other movies besides, but that the legend lives.
Do we think Bill Cosby is getting the fair deal here with everything that's happening right now?
I mean, it's sad. I think it's really sad because I think a lot of people are shielding themselves from a lot of the news about it because they don't want – not that they don't want to know, but they just want to remember him for like, that family that you watched on TV and enjoyed and took you out of your own life, It was inspiring too.
Fascinating, complicated issue because it happened – over. You know, first of all, I think that when all of these women come forth, it's fairly obvious that something happened.
Right. Yes, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah, and but the reason that the statute of limitations ran out on so many of these crimes is because nobody would believe them, and they settled and all that. And what brought it out was, as a grumpy old man, his moralizing to black people about how they're supposed to live. Mm. And that began the comic, bringing out the fact, you know, well, don't tell me to pull my pants up. I'll tell you not to be a rapist.
Right.
And that was how it started. So it was ancient crimes coming to bite him in the ass because of his own posturing.
Yes.
I mean,
Hoisted by his own petard. He's not a nice guy. I've worked with him in the past. He's not pleasant. And he has a lot of animus towards a lot of people. Hmm. And I think that that's kind of coming home. The karma wagon is backing up over him now.
Hmm.
But in this particular instance, I mean, I would just like to point out, for those of us who had sex in the 70s with Quaaludes.
Well, that's a whole world I want to know about.
Well, it's that I don't think he forced a Quaalude on a girl to have sex. I think we did that. We got Quaaludes because Quaaludes made sex more fun.
Right.
And I think that's what he was doing. That is different than slipping a roofie into a drink, rendering her almost comatose, and then fucking her blind.
Right.
That's not the same as they shared a Quaalude. I think he admitted to it back then because he was saying, yeah, we had sex with Quaaludes.
Yeah.
That's all he was saying. A lot of people had sex with Quaaludes. And then he didn't want them to reveal that because it would be distorted as it is still being distorted. So that apart, that has opened the new can of worms.
Right.
where the stuff that is at this point pretty much undeniable.
So wait a second. You've had Quaaludes?
I have them right now if you'd like.
Really? A lot of twinks are into that, aren't they?
I've never, like, I don't really know what that is.
We used to call them Sopers.
What is that?
Because they were made by a company called Soper, and they're little pills that say 714, which is the Orange County area code, but it's totally unrelated to what.
What is that? What's the experience?
It's a soporific. Like? It makes you feel great. You get high and kind of loose. And willing to do anything.
It's the 70s.
It was the 70s.
It exemplified the 70s.
And we called them lewds.
Yep.
Theo, did you ever do a play?
Popping lewds. I'm sure, man. Yes. I mean, I've definitely
drop
been,
a lewd,
you know,
pop a tude.
I've done some things.
That was the phrase. Drop that was lewd, to make you happier. Drop a lewd, pop a tude.
Wow. I've only...
In other words, drop a quaalude and change your attitude.
Yeah.
I've smoked pot twice. That's it.
Sure, really? Clinton.
I promise.
So I want to know.
That's all
then,
the priest had?
That's rabbi.
Oh, pardon me.
I think Bill Cosby did it.
I think he did it too, and I think he is getting what he deserves. All right, moving on.
Oh, God, there's that elephant again.
Theo, what would you like to talk about?
Okay, what I want to talk about is you see a lot of like these chicks on Instagram like showing their ass a lot and I just feel like it really like makes women, it just like, how do they have the feminism movement going on at one moment and then all these like chicks on Instagram just showing their ass and like totally like not even like seeming like legit chicks, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Legit. You mean they're actually guys, or I mean
no, all, they're like taking away. It's like they're taking away like from this whole movement. It's just like, I think what I'm saying is like, I think women need to pick a path and either be like stoked about this feminism movement or quit like just showing their ass on Instagram.
Maybe some women who think that the feminism movement is so solid that they can do whatever they want, or it's pushback against political correctness.
Or maybe they think the feminism is the fact that I can show my body and embrace that on that.
Yeah.
But I'll give you 10 points right away because, goddamn, I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah. Well, do you feel like, if he has too much what?
Well, I don't know how to use Instagram. You know, I have a natural shake, so I can't take pictures. So every time I try to take a picture and post it on Instagram, it's blurry. Yeah. So my account is literally looks like something that like Helen Keller would, you know, would
get Parkinson's light, they call it.
And secondly, girls on Instagram, I do know what you're talking about because there are a lot of, but there are also guys, a lot of guys, you know, we know from seeing different kind of social media stuff in the gay world, they put their own stuff out there too.
Yeah.
Like there's shirtless pictures, there's everything.
Well, there are dick pics. I mean,
there's dick pics, exactly.
That covers all predilections.
And are a lot of dick, do you feel like, are you getting dick pics a lot?
Oh,
are people sending them?
He shows me. They're.
And are there different, like if people are different ethnicities, are their dicks different colors or not?
Yes, they are. I mean, black people have black dicks.
Just by nature.
Am I revealing something to you?
Yeah, man, I don't know
anything. You've never showered with a black man?
I mean, not looking down.
Have you ever been in close
you don't have
proximity of another penis?
Go to a Laker locker room. You'll be at eye level. they'll all be parading by you, you know.
When I was young, they had a dude and I worked that was in our middle school, and he was like 19 years old, this black kid.
In middle school,
yeah,
he was 19?
This was in, when they let you keep going. Like, they let you go.
Oh.
And he, like, we called him Mr. Larry. Like, he had a kid, I think, in the third grade. Like, and he, like, had a child of his own who was three or four.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in our class, and he would come in the locker room, and he would come in the bathroom. We're in there urinating at the stall, and he would pee over us into the urinal. That was, like, his big
That's
trick.
Talent.
And then one time, there was one day when I went in there, and he had let like a couple of like fourth graders like hold his penis.
What?
Not in like a perverted way, just like in a look at this cool dick way, you know? And
Bruce was familiar with this.
Almost as if it was like a show and tell, like bring your pet to school day or something, you know?
He was a black guy?
He was a black guy, Mr. Larry. And and then I remember eventually they just let him work at the school. They just eventually let him work at the school. He came one day and they're like, "You're not a student anymore. You work here
Shut
now.
Shut up. I don't believe this.
No way. Yeah.
They didn't check his credentials that he was whipping
credentials,
out his penis
he's
for
19 years
for
old.
Fourth graders were holding his dick? That wasn't.
No, it's not. This is when that wasn't, you know. Like, I remember people showing their dicks all the time when we were young, you know. I mean, they were mostly white kids, though, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
and it wasn't a big crime. But it wasn't a crime if somebody ran by and showed you their dick. You know what I'm saying? Like, now everything's a crime.
Actually, Theo, look under the table right now.
Get out of here. Get out of here. So what I'm saying, Bruce, is do you think that these bitches are really losing their minds out there? That's what I'm saying.
Bruce, have you ever sent a dick pic?
What? No.
Good.
No. I keep everything. First of all, you know, you have to have an IMAX lens.
Have you ever sent like a drawing of your dick?
Not since they stopped using Cinerama.
There you go. Actually, or Smell-O-Vision.
Well, that we don't even cross that barrier.
Bruce, I'm sure in your day you've probably seen some penises here and there, and I'm just guesstimating because you know both you guys like men, and I know that's part of it.
Yeah.
And do you remember, like, the smallest penis you ever saw?
Ooh.
Yes, I do.
You do? It distinctly stands out at you?
It was a nice Jewish kid.
Yeah.
It was really just
It was 80%
like,
off.
It was, yeah. I know, exactly.
Was this before or after the cut?
The moil took a big cut.
Yeah.
He had a great ass, though. I remember that.
Yeah.
So that kind of sort of made up for it.
I remember, I think the first small penis I saw was actually...
It was an elephant. Yes, my God.
It was James Vanderbeek.
No.
We'll never know.
It's amazing.
We'll never know.
I'm going to go look at Justin Bieber's ass again.
All right, Bruce.
I don't like the filter you use, though.
Topic? Who wins the entire, like, whoever wins this round wins it all.
Holy shit. Now, wait, what are the qualifications?
They are whatever you want it to be.
Whatever you want. That was 7 minutes in hell.
Suggestions
are... 7 minutes in hell. Well, for me personally, 7 minutes in hell, talking about Bill Cosby as opposed to talking about dick size.
So then I win! Boom, boom!
That's race baiting.
You know, but that's just because the East German judge was foul.
Exactly.
An old Olympic reference, but back when there was an East Germany. Thank you. Thank you
very much.
A lot
of East German listeners.
So yes. I will proudly
share and talk to everyone.
I will proudly take that win. Thank you very much. Bruce.
You're welcome.
Tell us what is there anything you want to plug or anything you've got going on that we can see you in? I know you're always all over the country doing shows. He does stand-up. He does his own stuff.
I passed him in the clubs a few times.
When is this on now? Or
it'll be released soon.
It'll be released soon. Okay, well, then I'll be in Provincetown. That's a good one to plug.
Nice.
Provincetown on the tip of the finger of Cape Cod.
That's a secular gay community, isn't it?
It is a secular gay community, but all kinds of people show up there.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a theme park and Where the Rides.
I just learned about it a week ago. A gay buddy of mine was telling me about it.
And the highlight of the season is Carnival, which happens toward the end of August. I'll be appearing there August 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
Nice.
Carnival is on the 20th, which is the big parade and all of that. Lots of drunken frat boys saying, I will let you blow me for beads. My kind of party.
Well, if you need a plus one.
And I will have the opening for me, the Skivvies. The Skivvies are a husband and wife team, who a fiddle player and a guitar player, and they work in their underwear. And they're gorgeous and funny. And they bring various friends of theirs. And you have to, in order to work with them, you must strip down to your underwear.
Wow. So,
and they're really funny. They're a great time.
And you'd recommend seeing that show no matter what. It's good.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, it's great. We'll have fun. The Provincetown Theater, August 2021 and 22.
Fantastic.
Check them out there. It's going to be a gay carnival and straight carnival. Everybody's welcome.
It's carnival. Yes,
everybody's welcome.
And I mean, it really is. That's the week where everybody's welcome because, you know, they've divided up the summer. There's like Bear Week. And Women's Week and Family Week, which is truly dreaded by many.
Because
the place is overrun by gabies.
Oh, yeah.
Gabies and their overly solicitous parents. You know, everybody is Modern Family.
A lot of them get a tan baby, don't they?
Yeah, well, you know, there was the joke used to be, I'd like to have a baby with a gay man, but I don't want to have an Asian baby. That was a woman's lament. But now, I mean, listen, now that we make our own, so it really all depends on how you want to do it. You know, now you can find a woman who has eggs, that, you know, a friend of yours who has eggs, and give her your sperm, and so you have that kid.
Well, my aunt used to breastfeed us even when we were young.
Your aunt?
So you can do anything.
She was just lactating for the hell of it?
She had something going on.
I see.
She had a
problem. She was a wet nurse. She was
a something going on.
Well, I can attest. I have seen Bruce live many times, and he is a great time. You will hear wonderful stories about his past and his career, but also some great jokes. So everybody, go check out Bruce. Bruce, we thank you
so much.
And if you come, you'll hear all these stories as if they happened to me.
you were in the house.
Because lying is big right now.
He's the Robin Williams of podcast.
And we're all fabulous now.
That time you talked to the Beeve about pussy, and that time you were in the house with Scott Baio.
That's right.
You're an adorable
Thomas
man.
Thomas Calabro. Bruce. I may just make a little edit on that one.
You're an adorable man. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us.
And that has been Allegedly.